Rage, written by Wilbur Smith and read by Sean Barrett.
Tara Courtney had not worn white since her wedding day. Green was her favorite color, for it best set off her thick chestnut hair. However, the white dress she wore today made her feel like a bride again, tremulous and a little afraid, but with a sense of joy and deep commitment. She had a touch of ivory lace at the cuffs and the high neckline, and had brushed her hair until it crackled with ruby lights in the bright Cape sunshine. Excitement had rouged her cheeks, and although she had carried four children, her waist was slim as a virgin's. So the wide sash of funereal black that she wore over one shoulder was all the more incongruous. Youth and beauty decked in the trappings of mourning. Despite her emotional turmoil, she stood with her hands clasped in front of her and her head bowed, silent and still. She was only one of almost 50 women, all dressed in white, all draped with the black sashes, all in the same attitude of mourning, who stood at carefully spaced intervals along the pavement opposite the main entrance of the Parliament buildings of the Union of South Africa. Nearly all of the women were young matrons from Tara's own set, wealthy, privileged, and bored by the undemanding tenor of their lives. Many of them had joined the protest for the excitement of defying established authority and outraging their peers. Some were seeking to regain the attentions of their husbands, which, after the first decade or so of marriage, were jaded by familiarity and fixed more on business or golf and other extramarital activity. There was, however, a hard nucleus to the movement, consisting mostly of the older women, but including a few of the younger ones, like Tara and Molly Broadhurst. These were moved only by revulsion at injustice. Tara had tried to express her feelings at the press conference that morning, when a woman reporter from the Cape Argus had demanded of her, "Why are you doing this, Mrs. Courtney?" And she had replied, "Because I don't like bullies and I don't like cheats." For her, that attitude was partially vindicated now. "Here comes the big bad wolf," the woman who stood five paces on Tara's right said softly. "Brace up, girls." Molly Broadhurst was one of the founders of the Black Sash, a small, determined woman in her early 30s, whom Tara greatly admired and strove to emulate. A black Chevrolet with government license plates had drawn up at the corner of Parliament Square, and four men climbed out onto the pavement. One was a police photographer, and he went to work immediately, moving quickly down the line of white-clad, black-draped women with his Hasselblad camera, photographing each of them. He was followed by two of the others brandishing notebooks. Though they were dressed in dark, ill-cut business suits, their clumpy black shoes were regulation police issue, and their actions were brusque and businesslike as they passed down the ranks, demanding and noting the names and addresses of each of the protesters. Tara, who was fast becoming something of an expert, guessed that they probably ranked as sergeants in the special branch. But the fourth man she knew by name and by sight, as did most of the others. He was dressed in a light grey summer suit with brown brogues, a plain maroon tie and a grey fedora hat. Though of average height and unremarkable features, his mouth was wide and friendly, his smile easy as he lifted his hat to Molly. "Good morning, Mrs. Broadhurst. You are early. The procession won't arrive for another hour yet." "Are you going to arrest us all again today, Inspector?" Molly demanded tartly. "Perish the thought." The inspector raised an eyebrow. "It's a free country, you know."
"You could have fooled me."
"Naughty Mrs. Broadhurst." He shook his head. "You are trying to provoke me." His English was excellent, with only a faint trace of an Afrikaans accent.
"No, Inspector. We are protesting the blatant gerrymandering of this perverse government, the erosion of the rule of law, and the abrogation of the basic human rights of the majority of our fellow South Africans merely on the grounds of the colour of their skins."
"I think, Mrs. Broadhurst, you are repeating yourself. You told me all this last time we met." The inspector chuckled. "Next you'll actually be demanding that I arrest you again. Let's not spoil this grand occasion."
"The opening of this parliament, dedicated as it is to injustice and oppression, is a cause for lament, not celebration."